They won that one with a final score of 11-6. So great job there.
Is college even necessary to get into the NBA at this point?
You got to focus on the game. This is not an easy win.
He's the most hyped up prospect since LeBron James.
This is the Arabian Sports Network's Inside the Playbook here on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you here to Inside the Playbook. I am your host, Zion, alongside
Lucas Williams.
And today we've got a great podcast for you. We're going to start off with Aiden and Michael. We're talking about NBA awards. So for your take on MVP, I know you could say it's Luka. You know, there's a lot of picks. Well, who do you think is going to win it this year?
Honestly, I have no idea. Jokic is obviously doing great. Luka too, and Embiid, he can't.
No, he's not eligible.
Yeah, that's going to be really tough. Not too sure.
Yeah, I think personally, I'll give it to Jokic, because he's just that kind of player. He's that guy.
Yeah, and he doesn't even care.
Yeah, so it's cool. But we're going to leave you off here with Aiden and Michael, but you are listening to Inside the Playbook, 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome here to this segment of ASN Inside the Playbook, presented by 91.7 WEEM. For this segment, it is Aiden Wilson and I'm Michael Hooker. We are talking about the NBA awards, like MVP, Clutch Player of the Year, stuff like that. So I guess we just get straight into it.
Yeah. Michael, what do you want to start with?
Let's start with Sixth Man of the Year. That was Naz Reid of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Had a spectacular year with that team. That team as a whole. Yeah. I mean, Anthony Edwards, MVP candidate. Karl Anthony Towns played very well. At 63, I think, in one game this year.
Yeah. Rudy Gobert, defensive player finalist.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that team just played very well. I mean, Mike Conley won teammate of the year this year. So, I mean, this team, they are a very, very solid team, very deep, like when it comes to like their bench, and are making a great push in the playoffs right now.
Yeah. And now that you kind of bring all that up, their whole starting five, besides Jaden McDaniels, is in potential or has won an award this year. And that's pretty crazy to think about. So, for Naz Reid, Sixth Man of the Year, obviously you already said it. Naz Reid, he went undrafted, and now to obviously become, you know, a high, what's the word for it?
Key rotation.
Yeah, a key player in the Timberwolves rotation. I believe he averages somewhere close to like 17 or something, and then it bumps up to 23, 24 around there when Karl Anthony Towns is injured. So he's definitely stepped up for his team this year. And he's improved a lot as well. So I think that really solidified him for that Sixth Man award.
Yeah, I mean, he helped lead that bench unit, especially from his position, because he can play the five, he can play the four, he can even play the threesome.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he's got a decent jumper.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, especially for like his height, his height. He can play great defense, gets good boards. So really, for Naz Reid, he's one of those players that can do it all, especially at his height.
Yeah. And then Michael, for most improved player, one of the 76ers, Tyrese Maxey, ran away with that award. And I would say, maybe it's kind of biased, but I would say he deserved it.
I mean, here's the thing. You can say he ran away with it, but looking at the actual vote count, it was only made, like, he was between him and Kobe White.
Yeah.
They were very close. I agree with both of those.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Tyrese Maxey was an all-star this year, first-time all-star, you know, led his team, besides Joel Embiid in scoring. Yeah, I mean, those two on the floor together.
He kind of kept them alive, too, when Joel Embiid was injured.
Yeah, I mean, they had the highest win percentage together. I mean, they were just fantastic. And Kobe White, even, like, give him an honorable mention. I mean, he was a key part to why the Bulls won their...
He was, what, the second leading scorer on the Bulls besides DeMar?
I think so.
I think he led the team at one point for like a month or so, you know, a little bit of a time span. But yeah, he definitely showed up this year as well.
Yeah, and then we're going to move on to Coach of the Year. That's Mike
Daigneault.
Coach of the Oklahoma City Thunder. He won Coach of the Year this year. OKC, phenomenal year. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was up there for MVP. Chet Holmgren was up there for, I believe, Rookie of the Year.
Maybe even defensive, DPOY.
But those two pretty much carried that load. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah, but Michael, you can't forget Jalen Williams.
He's a stud.
I think he's number five.
Oh, that's Lou Dort.
Oh,
Williams is eight.
Well, Jalen Williams, like the small forward, because I know they have two on that team. So, yeah, Jalen Williams, he definitely, he's good, dude. He almost, didn't he win a rookie of the year last year? It was between him, Paolo, and Jabari Smith Jr.?
I think so.
Yeah. He's a solid player.
I mean, they're a very solid team. You know, you have Shea at the one, Lou Dort at the two, I believe.
Josh Giddey at the two. Lou Dort's at the four, I think.
No,
Lou Dort's at the three.
Williams is the four. And then Chet at the five. Yeah. Abraham Lincoln. He looks like Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, he does.
He does. But, I mean, very solid team. Mm. Number one seed in the West.
Very young team as well. I believe they're the second youngest team in the NBA.
Who's the youngest? Detroit's the youngest.
Yeah, I think so.
They're one of the three youngest teams in the NBA. Mm. But, I mean, very successful year. And then clutch player of the year. Yeah. New award these past couple years. Steph Curry. No surprise there.
Yeah, I don't really think anybody else had too many clutch moments this year. Steph Curry, he's definitely been Mr. Reliable for his team, so he's had those clutch shots and clutch opportunities.
Well,
he's made those opportunities worth.
He's always been, you know, kind of you need a bucket, to him. I could also throw Anthony Edwards in there.
Yeah,
I mean,
or Kyrie, just because that one shot, one shot was crazy.
Yeah, but I would put Ant up there because, I mean, sadly, when they beat the Pacers at home at Gainbridge, that block, the chase down block was crazy. I mean, even in the playoffs, he's doing it. He's he finished the game against the Nuggets very well.
He's like 46, too. 43. It was really high numbers.
Yeah, he's been putting up some great numbers this year. So, I mean, either him or Curry deserved it, but they went to Curry, which I think was a smarter choice. And then Mike Conley, we already mentioned, for teammate of the year. I don't really understand that award.
I would think it's kind of just like a locker room award. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like the NFL's Walter Payton Man of the Year.
Right. Yeah. Because, I mean, Mike Conley, he's a veteran. So he has that presence and he's been to the playoffs before with the Grizzlies. So
a lot.
I mean, yeah. I guess it kind of makes sense. I don't really know who else you would put up there for it, though.
No, I don't.
I couldn't really project it if I had to.
Yeah, you know, it's not an award that I think of. Oh, this guy, I think, could really win this award, you know. Then former NBA head coach of the Celtics, Brad Stevens, won executive of the year.
Mm.
I think he's still with the Celtics. He's just their executive.
Yeah, and right. Yeah, I don't remember. I mean, I know they had M.A. Udoka or Odoka something, which is their coach Udoka, now, and then they had coaches before, but I really don't remember these coaches' changes. I mean, you said one for the Celtics, and then I feel like the coach for the Thunder, when did he start coaching? I don't remember.
Yeah, it used to be I think Snyder? No.
No, I think it
Donovan.
Was...
Donovan. No, Billy Donovan was the Sixers.
No, he was the Bulls. And then I think before the Bulls, he was part of the Thunder.
I can't remember I don't know. There's so many coaches.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, exactly.
That have gone on. I can't remember exactly. But Brad Stevens, executive of the year. It makes sense. Celtics, number one overall team in the league. Only had, I think, didn't get over the 20 loss mark this year.
I think so. Honestly, don't know for sure, but I think they had 23, but I'll double check that.
Yeah, but a very, very talented team. I mean, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Drew Holiday, Kristaps Porzingis, Derek White. I mean, that's just their starting five right there. It's a very solid team. Can make a deep playoff push.
Yeah.
Haven't really seen much about them in the playoffs.
They're not really exciting, but then again, they played an injured Heat team.
Yeah.
So now, who are they going to play in the second round? It's the Cavs, right?
Yeah,
that's going to be a good series, I think.
That should be good, and I think that'll get more attention than what their first round series did.
Yeah.
I'm more excited for the Knicks-Pacers series. Just
honestly, me too. Because
it's you have the highest scoring offense in the Indiana Pacers just walked through the Milwaukee.
I mean,
now they're going into MSG.
Yeah.
I think, honestly, they have a good shot at moving on.
I would say if they're going to win, they're going to win in six.
But it's going to be like six or seven.
If it goes to seven, they're going to lose. And if anything before that,
unless
the Knicks
they win
have
home court advantage.
Yeah.
And then last award here that we have confirmed winners of is Alex Caruso for the NBA Hustle Award.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy is... He's throwing his body around, diving for loose balls.
He got injured by his own teammate hustling. Like, I think it was Andre Drummond. There was a loose ball and they both ran after it or something.
Yeah.
And he like ran into him.
I mean, yeah, Alex Caruso, hustle guy, really known for his time on the Lakers.
Yeah.
You know, putting people on posters. But Hustle Award winner.
Yeah. I think last year was Pat Bev. So it's kind of the same, like, I guess you could say
hard-nosed defensive player.
Exactly.
They're just going to go out there and be scrappy. Awards that we do not have a confirmed winner of are the MVP, Rookie of the Year, and DPOY.
Yeah.
So we're going to tell who we think are going to win the award. So do you want to start? Or do you want me to go?
Michael, let's start off with the Rookie of the Year. I think it's a very solid case between Chet Holmgren and Victor Wembanyama.
I don't
think Brandon Miller has it.
No, it's Brandon Miller's kind of like that. Oh, this guy's in there too. It's like kind of that random throw in.
He's what Scoot was supposed to be.
Yeah. Scoot, I feel like they didn't use him right, but
I think he also got drafted into the wrong situation.
Yeah.
I think he could have, I don't remember. I think, I guess, I don't know. It just wasn't really like a guard prominent, or I guess you could say like, you know what I'm saying? Heavy draft.
Me personally, I don't think Chet Holmgren deserves to even be in the running for it. Out of technicality, it's his second year in the NBA. He lost his rookie season because of injury. I get that. The same thing happened with Ben Simmons.
And I think it was Joel Embiid.
No, he played enough games for it to be considered.
Okay. Well, there was another one in the most recent years, I know.
But like, sure. I'm sorry, but he was drafted the year before. Yeah, sure, he didn't play, but like that.
Yeah. I get what you're saying. I've heard the argument. Like, they've had training from, like, you know, NBA professionals, like trainers and stuff.
Yeah.
So they have more of an advantage. But I think also, like, I mean, they haven't played against competition yet. You know what I'm saying? Like, they might have ran a couple scrimmages at practice or whatever, but they're not playing, like, I don't know. Let's say,
like, Embiid.
Yeah, they're not playing, like, Giannis.
Unless, like, their team does, like, a controlled scrimmage.
Right.
But, like, Wemby is just different. I mean, when you're 7'4", it helps. But another thing that I want to make a point about with Wemby and Chet, if you flip their roles, are they going to be doing the same thing? Because if you think about it, Chet, in his system, does not have to rely on scoring as much.
Right.
But Wemby is the star. He has to score. Yeah, his team didn't win a lot of games, but he also had Jeremy Sochan running point.
One of the worst teams in the league. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a good point. I'm not going to lie.
You know,
I think if you, you kind of caught me there. You had me thinking. I think if you do flip the script, like you said, Chet Holmgren, he's the second option. It's safe to say. Second option. Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, in some cases, he's third.
Right. Behind Jalen Williams.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Shea's obviously one.
Right. I think if Wembanyama was in that role, I think not only would the Thunder play a little bit different, they would probably play like more kind of paint dominant. I know they kind of already are. They have perimeter shooters though. But I think if Chet was in San Antonio, he would probably average like 30 something.
I don't think he would, because here's the thing. He's 4 inches shorter than Wemby.
He's only 7 foot. I thought he was 7'2".
No, he's only 7 foot. Oh. He's 4 inches shorter than Wemby. And when they played each other, Wemby was like,
yeah, he was getting at him.
He was getting at him.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like, you know, Chet, you know, that's a big responsibility, especially for a rookie.
Right.
But with Wemby, he played professional ball in France.
Right.
So like, he kind of had a feel for it. With Chet, he only had college.
Right.
So I feel like they would see different success.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. Because then again, Chet Holmgren he won a national with
Gonzaga. I don't think he did.
Gonzaga.
I think he came close.
Oh, they lost, didn't they? Him and Jalen Suggs, they were on the same team. But didn't Jalen Suggs hit a buzzer beater and like win the whole thing? Or was that earlier rounds?
That was to go to the national.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Or no, that was to go to the Final Four over Bama. I remember that, yeah. Because I was watching that and Suggs hit the craziest three.
Yeah.
And like, it was wild. So that was rookie of the year. DPOY, we'll get to MVP in a second, but DPOY. People say Wemby deserves it because he had over 200 blocks. Here's the thing. You have to think. And now you may say, well, then why isn't it just
hold
team
on,
defense?
I have a point. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you're going to say Wembanyama, he had 200 blocks, he's like the best defensive player, whatever. If you go to the Timberwolves, you have Rudy Gobert and you have Nasri, Jaden McDaniels, Mike Conley. Again, he's not in the paint, which I'll get to in a second, but you have Karl-Anthony Towns. You have all those good defensive bigs around you. And Rudy Gobert's still putting up the numbers that he obviously is now. But if you go to Wembanyama, he's the only really solid paint defender they have besides Zach Collins. And I don't even know if he's on that team anymore.
I think so. He gets bottom feeder minutes.
So honestly, if it's up to me and I have a vote, I'm voting Gobert. Exactly.
I mean, people want to hate on Rudy Gobert. Mm-hmm. And I get that. The guy, like, you know, kind of started the whole COVID thing with touching the mics. But he's a solid big. Mm-hmm. And for what the Minnesota, if you look at it, for the Minnesota Timberwolves defense, they were one of the top defenses in the league. I think the top defense.
Mm-hmm.
You had Ant and Conley out there at the guard positions on the wings. And even Jaden McDaniel swung out there. But not to mention, Cat's not the strongest defender, but he could block some.
Mm-hmm.
Rudy Gobert would pick up his blocks. He'd pick up McDaniel's blocks. When Naz Reid was on the floor, he'd pick up some of his blocks.
Right.
Rudy would run the floor to block guards too. So people need to look at that. Wemby, he's 7'4". I mean, he's going to get blocks. Of course, he's going to lead the league in blocks.
He's got a super long wingspan too. Rudy Gobert, like, obviously you have a long wingspan. You're 7 foot something. But Victor Wembanyama, his wingspan's like, what is it? Like 7'11" or something?
Yeah, 7'10", 7'11". I think it's 7'10". He's got freakishly long arms. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it makes sense for him to get the amount of blocks he does.
Yeah.
And then
I think that was the only two. I know there's another candidate, but I don't think it's worthy to mention, really.
No.
And maybe. Then, I don't know. I'll look at it.
MVP. This is the big one.
Yeah.
I think we have one player that's really deserving of it. And then we have one player that everyone knows is going to win it because the other player that's deserving of it just doesn't get light shed on him. And who do you think those two are?
I think it's kind of annoying, to be honest.
Because it's Jokic. It's Jokic.
Jokic is obviously
he's
like
the one
the
that
first
will
pick.
Probably win it.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. People are like, he plays so casual, but he still puts up like, video game numbers. Like,
he's the most boring center player
in general just to watch.
And his usage percentage, it's like way higher than any other player on any other team. So,
yeah.
I mean, obviously you're going to get all those points and assists when you have the ball all the time. So.
Yeah, I mean, when, you know, you're like 6'11" point guard, basically, you know, it's easy for you to get assists and rebounds and points when you're, you know, getting guarded by smaller people half the time, and you're getting the ball every single possession for a majority of that possession. But then, you know, you have a player like Luka, who has a secondary guard on his team that is a very good scorer and is very ball dominant.
Probably a top scorer in
NBA history.
NBA history.
When it comes to creating shots
and
getting to his spot. But Luka still puts up 34-9-9.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's basically seven more points than Jokic and the exact same amount of rebounds and assists.
And something to mention, Jokic had, I mean, he's a center, obviously. He has the height for the rebounds. Luka, he has Derek Lively, PJ Washington, Daniel Gafford. He has all those solid, like, bigs, rebounders, defenders, bigs. Yeah, whatever you want to call it. And then averaging 9 assists, You could say that's normal for point guard. So I guess you can kind of give it to Jokic, say, like, oh, nice job. Like, you average this many assists as a center. Cool. But, I think a point which you mentioned, Luka has Kyrie. He has PJ Washington, which is, he's been a solid shooter for them on the 3-point line. And then you have all these other, like, pretty good. I guess you could say some of them are average scores. But for Jokic, he really has three players: Jamal Murray, Aaron Gordon, and
I
then
even put Aaron Gordon
MPJ.
Up there. I wouldn't put Aaron Gordon up there because I would say the only thing that Aaron Gordon is good for is every game getting like four
fast
or five
dunks.
Flashy dunks, and that's it. MPJ and Jamal Murray are his go-to guys that you know offensively will tear it up.
If exactly.
And I think honestly, if there's one player that got overlooked this year for MVP as well, Anthony Edwards, because he wasn't even in the top five.
Really?
Mm.
That's crazy.
The five were Jokic, Luka, Shea, Tatum, and Giannis. Yeah.
Giannis?
Yeah.
Tatum is like, okay.
I don't,
Tatum's been in it for a couple years now.
But like,
and he's to the point where he's almost got one. If some of these other players obviously didn't do what they do.
Yeah.
So Tatum, I mean, yeah. But Giannis, but I feel like the Bucks had an off year.
But like Anthony Edwards this year, I mean, different level. I mean, he was, I've seen this one video where it's like, you know, this guy was saying, you know, three players with Mamba mentality, MJ, Kobe, and Anthony Edwards. The only difference between Ant and the other two is he does it with a smile on his face.
Yeah.
Bro. I mean, if you look at every single one of his highlights where he's putting up 30, 40 points a game, he's smiling.
And then after the game, post-game interview, he's laughing about it, too.
He's laughing. And then people made fun of him for that, you know, comment. He said, you know, they got KD, but we got Jaden McDaniels.
And then
but he was
what
right.
What happened? Yeah.
What happened? Jaden McDaniels played.
Shut down Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm, shut down Bradley Beal and Booker, too.
Yeah.
Like, Jaden McDaniels proved, hey, you know, what he said is true.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think Anthony Edwards is one of those players that he makes people better around him better.
Yeah.
And we're seeing it in this Nuggets series. Last year, you know, they got knocked out by him. This year could be different. They're up 1-0. Could be different.
Yeah. Michael, just a quick thing to mention. That other defensive player was Bam Adebayo.
Bam. Sorry. Bam.
Yeah.
No. You know, 6'9 playing center. Pretty impressive.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry. It's just when you have Rudy Gobert and Wemby up there, it's kind of hard to compete with them. But I think we covered everything.
I think so too.
Yeah, that's all the time that we have. So we hope you all enjoyed this segment. That'll do it for me and Aiden. We're going to jump to the next segment of ASN Inside the Playbook. And it's a really good one too.
Yeah.
So that will do it for me and Aiden. Signing off, Inside the Playbook.
WEEM is underwritten by Ohana Lulu. Located at 106 West State Street in downtown Pendleton, offering donuts, ice cream, coffee, and espresso bar, as well as catering services. More information is available at eatohonolulu.com. Again, that's eatohonolulu.com. Ohana Lulu.
Back to the Arabian Sports Network's Inside the Playbook here on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you back here. You just heard Aiden and Michael talk about the NBA awards. That was a fun segment. But next up is Dawson and Braden. Now, I heard earlier in the week they were talking about, you know, Braden's bad takes because Braden doesn't have a lot of good takes. He's a pretty controversial person considering sports takes. I'm going to call them out here. They didn't put their name on the schedule here, and we got to record this. You know, it's getting to the deadline, so that's on them.
Yeah, I don't really trust Braden with his bad takes. You know, as you said, very controversial person. So, I mean, he kind of gets people rallied up.
Yeah, definitely. So the next one's going to be a fun segment to watch. So you are listening to Inside the Playbook on 91.7 WEEM.
We welcome you back here to the Arabian Sports Network Inside the Playbook here on 91.7 WEEM. I'm Dawson Perrell. I'm joined by Braden Folk. And for this week's episode, Braden and I are going to be covering a more interesting topic, but a fun one at that. If you don't know, about a week ago, The Athletic, which is a sports reporting website, released an anonymous NBA player poll. They polled, again, anonymous NBA players on several different questions. Some of those include who's the GOAT, who's the MVP of this season, who's the best defender, most overrated, most underrated, a bunch of other stuff. I think there was around 10 questions, maybe even a bit more than that in total. So Brad and I are going to be talking about who the players voted, and then we'll be giving our own opinions on each of the questions, starting off with the first one, and that's going to be the most overrated player in the league currently. Rudy Gobert won the vote. It was decently close. Rudy Gobert had a decent amount of votes, though, taking a look just here at the second place and whatnot. It's Rudy Gobert. He got 13.6% of votes. Jordan Poole in second with 8.6. And then my personal choice, Trae Young with 7.8. Now, Rudy Gobert, I can understand why a lot of people chose him. It's because, you know, he's kind of become one of the more hated players in the league because, I mean, if you remember back to COVID, he was a pretty big component in giving the a lot of the players COVID, of course, being in that one bubble. He was the one, at least allegedly, he was the one who brought it in. So I think some players hold that against him. But overall, when it comes to on the court, I think this year, I don't know if he deserves DPOY, but he's probably going to win it. So I think that's why a lot of people voted for Gobert.
Yeah, I think he's the most overrated player. Well, actually, do I? No. Evan Mobley, I think, is the most overrated player. I remember, obviously this is a weird reference, I played 2K one time, yeah, and Evan Mobley was absolutely dogging on me. He was blocking everything, and he was getting every single rebound. And to be honest, that's why I think he's overrated. It is not compared to the actual NBA game, which, I mean, cool, it's a video game. But still, the announcers try to like make him a star player, and the coaches try to make him a star player. But every time I look, he's laying on the ground, and it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I voted Trae Young, as I mentioned. I think Trae Young is a good to great offensive player. I mean, especially playoff Trae. I mean, he's a clutch player, a great player, don't get me wrong. But his defense is so bad.
It's awful.
It is like one of the worst in the league. And he's kind of like James Harden, if you remember James Harden with the Rockets in his prime when he had that MVP season. His offense, or his defense, is really bad. That was kind of his whole Achilles heel, right? Great offense, but bad defense. But for Trae Young, it's like, okay, pretty good offense, but even worse defense. So I think he gets, not saying he's a bad player, because he's a good player, don't get me wrong, but the praise that he gets, I think DeJounte Murray's better than him. I don't think he's the best player on the Hawks, but I think he gets put as the best player on the Hawks a lot.
I did see a stat the other day, because, you know, I watch YouTube all the time. So I watched a YouTube video and was going over the worst defenders in the league. And there is a way to calculate the statistic of being the worst defender in the league. Obviously, I don't know the mathematical equation, so I can't give it to him. But the worst came to be Damian Lillard. He had a 0% defensive rating. And then Trae Young was like second with a 3. So I understand the good offense, obviously, but the really bad defense just kind of takes it away.
Yeah. All right. Moving on now to probably the headline question, and that is, who is the GOAT? Who is the best player of all time? So you could vote for anyone. Now, there was only six players who got votes. Michael Jordan, of course, got 45.9% of all votes. He won it. LeBron James was very close behind with 42.1% of the votes. Kobe, just under 10%. And then I think one player voted for Curry, another voted for Magic Johnson, and then one voted for Paul Pierce.
No offense to Paul Pierce, but my guy ain't the GOAT.
He pooped his pants.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
He's known for pooping his pants in a playoff game.
Well, it
was a cramp. He pooped his pants.
Did he really poop his pants?
It is a rumor. It is an NBA rumor that the man pooped his pants in an NBA playoff game.
I'm gonna have
I
to
think
research
he tried
that
to
one.
Play it off as a cramp, but I believe that he booted his pants. Anyways, yeah, I don't know how Paul Pierce got votes. For the debate itself, of course, it's Michael or LeBron. It's Michael Jordan or LeBron James. I don't think there's anyone else that you can put in the debate. At least, I don't think.
I think the closest one is Kobe. But
yeah,
obviously, he's not in the question of the top two.
I agree with Jordan. I think Jordan is the best player of all time, but I think it's very, very close. I think it's a lot closer than a lot of people think it is, because LeBron is so, so good. And I think here in 10 years, because The Athletic has done this poll for the past 3 years, so I think they're going to keep on doing it. If they keep on doing this, I would bet a lot of money that in a decade, maybe even 5 years, LeBron will be winning this. Because there is that sense of nostalgia that I think a lot of the older players grew up watching Jordan, and he was like the guy. But now we're getting a new generation where people watch LeBron, and he's the guy. It's the same. I always phrase it in the way with Star Wars. I know you're not a big Star Wars guy, but all like the old heads, all the dads of this generation love the original series because that's the first one. It's the best. But then our generation, Braden, love the prequels, which got released in the 2000s. And when the prequels first got released, they were thought to be horrible. But then once, you know, the generation that was young when they watched them grew up. So I think there's a little nostalgia factor there, but I agree with Jordan, but I think it's close. Brayden, you put Jordan.
Yeah, I agree with Jordan. Obviously, we're part of the younger generation who probably grew up watching LeBron. So that kind of helps the fact that Jordan may win GOAT, because if you watch LeBron and you don't like him, you're going to go with the other option. Like, there's people who specifically just don't like LeBron as a human being, which is not probably the best thing to do, but people do it. I personally like how LeBron, I like LeBron, like his human self, but like his, I don't necessarily think he has the best basketball ability in the NBA of all time. I think the best ability and the greatest player to ever play was Jordan.
But we done with the 90s.
Yeah, we're done with the 90s.
All right, moving on to the best defender. Victor Wembanyama won it. It was, I think this one was decently close as well. I'm going to try to find it here.
I think it was Rudy Gobert and
yeah, let me look.
Wembanyama.
Here we go. So best defender, Victor Wembanyama got 15.2% of votes. Jrue Holiday with 12.9%. And thank you, Brayden.
No
thank
problem.
You for turning on the lights.
I love
there.
Being bright, man.
All right. So then Lou Dort with 9.8, Herb Jones and Jaden McDaniels with 8.3. And then Rudy Gobert came in with 6%. So a bit lower than I think a lot of people would have him. But I agree with Victor Wembanyama. I think he's the best player in the league. I think if he wasn't a rookie, he would win Defensive Player of the Year. I just think people don't want to give it to a rookie, which, I mean, I guess is understandable. I think it'd be good for basketball and good for media, so I don't know. But you take a look at Victor Wimby's stats for this first season. I mean, it's pretty impressive. Per game this year for his rookie year, 3.6 blocks a game, leads the league, 1.2 steals. I think that's the most a rookie has ever had for blocks a game in a season, and it's, again, the most in the league. I think Victor Wembanyama is the best defender. You can put him on anyone. He can guard the perimeter because of his length. He can block shots from the perimeter. And you can't shoot on him from anywhere. He's probably the hardest he's the toughest defender to beat because he's cheat code. 7'4", that's quick and athletic.
Yeah, I agree. Looking at the ESPN stats that I've got pulled up right now, just because it's the quickest stat thing that I could find, but it's 4.6 blocks in the last 10 games he played. And then 1.1 steals, which is obviously, as a big man, you're not going to see some crazy steals unless you snatch a pass out of the air or something like that. Or, I mean, and if you look at it, his regular season, he was averaging 2.2 personal fouls per game. And then his last 10 games improved to 1.9, adding more blocks per game. So he's getting better at learning not to foul, maybe to smack the ball instead of a person.
Good point, Brayden. All right, we got to move forward. We're running low on time here. Most underrated player, Jalen Williams from Oklahoma. He won it, but it was tied with Derek White. I don't think Derek White is the most underrated player. I think he's very good, but he's talked about. No, I think he's good. He's a good player, but he's talked about. He's like beloved by the league, except for Brayden, I guess.
He's awful.
I think he's pretty good. I mean, he dropped 37 last night. It's probably not the time to say he's bad. Anyways, I voted for Alpi Sengun from the Rockets. I think this man is so good. I love this man.
He's pretty good. Yeah, as long as you're Jalen Suggs, right? Yeah, Jalen Suggs in there.
I do. I did give an honorable mention to Jalen Suggs. I just remember Sengun, when he guarded Victor Wembanyama, he shut him down.
He did.
I remember that. And, I mean, overall, it's not just against Victor Wembanyama. I mean, he's a very talented player. I don't think he gets the credit he deserves. I think he's a top 10, top 7 center in the league.
Okay, I could agree with that. I put Andrew Nembhard. Obviously, I'm a Patriots fan, so I watch the games pretty frequently. I've noticed he's a really good shooter from the corner. He's not really good from the top of the key, to be honest. But corner, he's almost lights out. I think it's like 60% or something like that I saw on the corner, which is actually insane. He's a really good passer, a really good ball handler. I think he's the best backup. He's not even a backup. I think he's a top 10 point guard in the league, and that might be absurd, but
wow,
I think
that
he
is absurd. All right, again, we got to move forward. Now on to the MVP question. Nikola Jokic won the popular vote with 41.8% of votes cast. Of course, he's the favorite to win it. He'll probably win it. Closely behind, though, is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He has 36.9. Luka with 9.9. Tatum, Giannis, and Donovan Mitchell also got a couple votes. For me, I think Luka's the MVP. Brayden, you put the same thing. I think Jokic is very good, and yes, he is probably deserving of it, I think.
But he's not averaging a triple-double.
I think when you look at the stats, Luka's averaging 33.9 points a game. And this is regular season. That's most in the league. 9.2 rebounds. That's 15th in the league. I think probably top three for guards. I don't know if he's number one for guards. I'm not sure. And then 9.8 assists a game. That's second in the league. Now, the thing about Luka in the past about him not winning MVP, because he's put up these stats for the past couple of years, is
it's just a team success.
Yeah, his team success. But this year,
they are good.
He's a 5 seed. That's a good team, especially in the West.
Yes.
I mean, that's a good seed for a very strong conference. I think it's finally Luka's year, and I don't think he is, you know, I think he's more deserving than Jokic.
I think he is too. I think Jokic and the Nuggets are kind of having a down year, to be honest. I'm not a super big guy on them. I don't really care for the Nuggets, their play style or anything like that, but I think the Mavericks are a better overall team, and Luka's an overall better player, so I think he should win.
All right, last question. This one, in my opinion, is the most interesting. I like this question the most, and that is, if you could choose one player to build a team from scratch with, who would it be? Now, I think, unsurprisingly, Victor Wembanyama won it, but I think I like this question so much is there's so many directions you could go. Like, Victor Wembanyama, he had 27.9% of votes, but Jokic was right behind him with 27.2%, despite Jokic being 29 years old, nearly 30.
I would never start a franchise with Jokic.
I wouldn't, just because, yes, Jokic is a great player, and, I mean, he's probably the best chance to win the finals. Like, if you're going to start a team from scratch and you want to win the finals that year, I'm going Jokic. But if you're thinking long term, I'm going Victor Wembanyama, or I'm going Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I think when you factor age, talent, and playoff success, of course, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a one seed. Of course, we haven't seen him much in the playoffs, but I think he has the ability to lead a team. And if Shai Gilgeous-Alexander develops a 3-point shot, which he has a decent 3-point shot, but if he like develops a very, very good 3-point shot, he's the best player in the league, in my opinion. He is the best at finishing at the rim for a guard. And I think if not Victor Wembanyama, I'd give it to Shai. You put Anthony Edwards as your second. Sorry to ruin your thunder, but I would also consider Anthony Edwards. I kind of went back and forth on Shai or Edwards.
After seeing the playoffs, obviously, you can't really look at Wemby in the playoffs because it's not going to happen for probably 2 years, 3 years, I think. But looking at Edwards in the playoffs, I think I want Edwards over Wemby, to be honest. Edwards is honestly insane. He had like 7 threes in the last game they played. I think Edwards is more deserving of a whole team to be surrounded by him than Wemby, because obviously Wemby's 1 year in the league. Edwards is, I think, in his third or fourth season. So I think it's more deserving for Edwards to get a team surrounded around him instead of Victor to get a team surrounded by him.
Yeah, I agree. I think the thing why I'm not picking Victor Wembanyama outright is we haven't seen his ceiling. Yes, his ceiling is as high as anyone's ceiling has ever been. His ceiling is to be the best player of all time, in my opinion. But we don't know that ceiling. For Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Anthony Edwards, they're kind of at their ceiling right now. I mean, it can't get much better. Anthony Edwards is blowing up the playoffs. He's going crazy. Shai is a MVP runner-up, most likely, when it comes to votes. So I think, you know, Victor Wembanyama, he's not, I don't even know if he was averaging 20. Much higher than 20 this year.
21 points a game.
21, which, I mean, is good for a rookie, but that's not insane. So that's why I think, and not to mention injury
but you
risk.
Put
injury risk.
Injury risk is high. Obviously, he's averaging 21 a game. He's averaging three or four blocks a game. He's averaging a couple steals a game, which is obviously that's a lot of production on the defensive side. He's getting 10 rebounds as well, which is a crazy averaging a double-double, obviously. But, I mean, you see guys like Luka averaging a triple-double. He needs to put more of an assist number up. I think he's only getting 4 assists. For me to put him for a team to go around him, I think he's got to average a little bit more.
Good point. All right. That'll do it for our episode here. Hope you all enjoyed. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network Inside the Playbook.
WEEM is underwritten by Anita's Diner, located at 777 East Water Street in Pendleton, providing daily specials, eat-in, and carry-out options from 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday through Friday. More information at 765-778-0001. That's 765-778-0001. Anita's Diner.
Back to the Arabian Sports Network's Inside the Playbook here on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM, we welcome you back here. So you just heard Dawson and Braden talking about whatever they just talked about. I believe it was something to do with Braden because he doesn't have very good sports takes. And they're just talking about that. So another good segment we just had. But next up will be Aiden and Eli talking about the NFL draft results. I know my Patriots had the 3rd overall pick, but recapping a little, Caleb Williams went 1 to the Bears, and then 2, Jaden Daniels to the Commanders, and then 3, Drake May to the Patriots. And as a Patriots fan, I'm excited. What did you see from the draft?
Well, I'm really excited to see what Caleb Williams can do for the Bears because, you know, Justin Fields no longer there. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's going to be, you know, a rookie. Maybe he'll make his name in, you know, Chicago.
Yeah, I'm curious. I don't think it's Chicago he'll sit a year, but like they talked about Drake May probably sitting a year, getting a little bit more experience statistically and from the bench, because that's a different ballgame when you're actually on the field and playing. So we'll see how they actually mentor. But with that, we're going to leave you off with Aiden and Eli talking about the NFL draft results. You are listening to Inside the Playbook on 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome back to Inside the Playbook here on the Arabian Sports Network on 91.7 WEM. But for this segment, Eli and myself, Aiden Wilson, will be going over the most recent NFL draft, as just last Thursday on April 26th, all 32 teams made their selections.
But Aiden, coming into this draft, there were a couple of changes put in place. Certain team in preparation for some of the players coming out of this draft.
Yeah, Eli, for example, the Bears made plenty of moves during the offseason, obviously, with players like Keenan Allen, DeAndre Swift. They still have, you know, their solid receivers that they also had last year. And then Justin Fields, you know, he moved out of Chicago. Now he's down in Pittsburgh with the Steelers. But Eli, I think there's a couple more players as well.
So Austin Elker went to the Commanders, and Kirk Cousins went to the Falcons. Derrick Henry went to the Ravens.
Yeah, but Eli, I know we both have our favorite teams, obviously, mine being the Eagles and yours being the Broncos. But if we want to hit, you know, on our teams and what we think overall last year we could have done better and what we need coming into this draft, I guess I'll start. Last year, the Eagles, they struggled defensively in the middle with their their defensive backs and their defensive linemen. We also struggled in the backfield as well with our safeties and our corners. So obviously, I think in the draft we could pick up some maybe more middle linebackers, but I think we definitely need some corners and some safeties. But during the offseason, we also, as I mentioned, we let DeAndre Swift walk. He's now with the Bears, and then we signed Saquon Barkley. Jason Kelce, our, you know, all-star Hall of Fame center, you know, he retired, as well as a longtime Eagle ever since, you know, I started watching football, at least Fletcher Cox. But Eli, what do you think, you know, for the Broncos?
Like you said, for the Eagles, the Broncos also need help on the defensive line. But since Russell Wilson went to Pittsburgh, that made it hard for us to get a much better quarterback. So now we got to restart everything to scratch. So we got Zach Wilson signing for the quarterback for Denver. But what we need really is a strong defensive line.
Yeah.
And a solid quarterback.
Yeah, I can agree. I would definitely say the Broncos, they're definitely in a rebuilding stage right now. I think they're kind of, I wouldn't say they're up there with the Patriots. You know, the Patriots, obviously, they had Tom Brady and all that. After they lost them, you know, they kind of went into a rebuilding state. They're still in there. I don't think they've really peaked up.
We haven't really moved at all.
Yeah, I don't think they've got to where they wanted to, and I think the Broncos are going to do that now. But Eli, if we go back to the Bears specifically, some of these moves that they made, you know, they were all for one specific player, and that player being Caleb Williams. He had got drafted to the now rebranded Chicago Bears with that first overall pick there in the 2024 NFL draft. But Eli, is there any other players in the early rounds, or I guess early picks, that you want to mention?
Yeah, so Marvis Harris Jr. went fourth round to the Cardinals, which is some weird thing to do for the Cardinals.
You know, I think it kind of makes sense. I think Marvin Harrison, in my opinion, I think Justin Fields really should have stayed in Chicago. I think Marvin Harrison was the pick that they needed. I think they needed better receivers, as well as better, I guess you could say defense. But I think their receivers was their main problem and their offensive weapons. So I think they should have traded down, I guess maybe with the Cardinals, you know, gave up their first overall pick, which then obviously Caleb Williams would have went somewhere else. But I think they really could have used Marvin Harrison Jr. It makes sense for the Cardinals too. They have Kyler Murray, and then they have, they have a solid team, but they don't have that really that set all-star receiver, and I think that's what they're looking for in Marvin Harrison Jr. Eli, did you know his dad played back in the day? He also played for the Colts as well.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, Marvin Harrison, it's a name around the league, and I think it's here to stay with obviously him going to the Cardinals, and I think he's going to have a couple solid years in a row. But Eli, is there any other player?
So Brock Browns wins the Raiders.
Brock Bowers, yeah.
Which is, for a Bronco, that's kind of like, what the heck,
yeah,
type thing. And Jacob McCarthy, 10th round to Minnesota.
Yeah, 10th overall.
And then Nate Wiggins, 30th to Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah. If we want to go with Brock Bowers to the Raiders, I think the Colts could have used him. Honestly, I don't remember what pick the Colts specifically have. I believe it was 11 or 16, but obviously, you know, as a Colts fan, obviously I'm not a Colts fan. I'm an Eagles fan, so I don't really care too much about the Colts. But they really could have used, you know, another offensive weapon, especially with Michael Pittman and then Jonathan Taylor and then Anthony Richardson, hopefully coming back next year to play quarterback for him. They definitely could have used another weapon there on the offense. But for J.J. McCarthy, he went to the Vikings, and I believe the Vikings also picked up I think it was another tight end. I don't really remember his name, but it was later in the first round, and they have Justin Jefferson as well. You know, a very, very good receiver. He got injured last year, so he didn't get to play much. And now his franchise quarterback that he really came into the league playing for, Kirk Cousins, he's now down in Atlanta. So J.J. McCarthy, hopefully can give the Vikings a new fresh start. But for Nate Wiggins, the cornerback, he went 30th overall to the Baltimore Ravens. I don't know if I mentioned this earlier, but the Baltimore Ravens, they had made some moves as well. They have Mark Andrews, obviously, who's been there for a little bit. They have Lamar Jackson.
Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry, the new addition there to that offense. And I think
that's going to be a pretty solid offensive team there.
Yeah. As I mentioned earlier, I believe it was for, I forget what team it was, but the Baltimore Ravens are definitely solid on offense. But I think they need more help defensively, and I think that's what they can get with Nate Wiggins. But yeah, as I was talking about an offense heavy team, we have Chop Robinson. He got drafted 21st overall to Miami. Eli, what do you think about that?
That's a weird move to do for Miami.
You think? Why do you think that?
Because I see that he's a defensive line, I guess that would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because they definitely need help with the defensive spot.
Yeah, especially, you know how their offense is.
Yeah.
They have Tyreek Hill. They scored 70 points last season. So they're definitely their offense, okay. I guess, yeah, it's really overwhelming to their defense.
Their offensive more as a powerhouse than just like trying to recuperate all their other stuff.
Yeah. But if we want to highlight some other players, I think I'll go to, let's look. I'm going to highlight the 22nd overall pick. Kenyon Mitchell, he was a Senior Bowl selection. He played at Toledo. He was one of the best defensive players in this draft. He was a cornerback as well. I don't know if I mentioned that, but the Eagles selected him 22nd overall. It was really surprising that he fell that low. Some people considered him the number one corner in that draft, and he fell all the way down to 22. So obviously the Eagles got really lucky with that one, and they also got this was in the second round, but they got Cooper DeJean as well. He played at Iowa. I believe it was about 387 snaps in the coverage formation, and he didn't have a single touchdown scored on him. So he's also a very solid defensive player there for the Philadelphia Eagles. Eli, is there any other players that we really haven't gone over so far that you want to mention?
So Mike Penix, 8th round to Atlanta.
Oh yeah. Michael Penix, 8th overall to Atlanta. Going to the Falcons, as you know, we mentioned earlier in the beginning of our segment, the Falcons, they signed Kirk Cousins in free agency to a $170 million contract. You know, if I was a Falcons fan, I would be really confused right now. And I'd also be kind of mad. You know, you gave $170 million to a quarterback who's, you know, he's up there in age, and he also came off of a season last year where he had a season-ending injury. So for them to, you know, give a quarterback of that play style, that type of money, and then go pick another one up in the draft, in which Michael Penix, he's also old as well. He's obviously not super old and not as old as Kirk Cousins, but he's old for a rookie. I believe he's coming into the league at 22, 23 years old, which is pretty up there in age for a rookie. So if we want to, if you want to go over some second round picks, we do have players like Kool-Aid McKinstry. He went to the Saints. I already mentioned Cooper DeJean. It's kind of surprising that he fell to the second round. But we have them two. And then we have, there was a tight end that I saw earlier today. It was Jatavion Sanders. He was the number one athlete in 2021 in that recruiting class. And then he was ranked number 13 overall nationally. He didn't declare for the draft up until this year. Being ranked, you know, the number one athlete in the 2021 class, you'd kind of be surprised that he went that long without, you know, actually declaring into the NFL draft. Eli, what do you think about that?
That's like, I'm surprised at how low he
got drafted. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can agree. Obviously, as I said, being the number one overall, only 3 years ago, and then coming into the draft and falling to the second round, which obviously, you know, some of these players, that's just bound to happen to them. But yeah, I think we've hit everything that we need to. You guys can let us know your opinions on the NFL draft as well as NFL free agency or anything coming into next season for the NFL. But again, I think that's all the time we have for this segment. Thanks for joining and sitting down with me and Eli and talking about the NFL draft. Here on ASN Inside the Playbook.
Here at 91.7 WEEM, we keep updated with our community by being on the hottest social media platforms around. Follow us at 91.7 WEEM on Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube. Follow us today. We would love to hear from all of our listeners, so go to our Instagram today to answer our daily poll. Keep updated with our latest posts and trends here on 91.7 WEEM.
Back to the Arabian Sports Network's Inside the Playbook here on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you back here to Inside the Playbook. I'm your host, Zion Palmieri, alongside
Lucas Williams.
And we just saw Aiden and Eli talking about the NFL draft results. And I know Patriots had a quick pick there early. And so I actually didn't get to catch that one. I was busy doing a game, so I was kind of mad about that. But anyways, we're going to talk about Dawson and Ryan next. They're doing the NBA playoffs. I know, talking about me more. That's what you came here for. The Celtics, they just beat the Heat. I'm really excited about that. And, of course, they're going to win the finals.
Man, I hope not.
No.
No, I was kind of rooting for the Heat, you know. Although Jimmy Butler isn't playing, you know, tomfoolery on top.
Yeah, that's fair.
I love him.
Yeah, I don't like him. I don't know. That's just, they've not played like
him. Jimmy Buckets.
They've played him for like, I think it's like 6-7 straight times. I don't know. But who's your pick to win the finals?
Anyone who's not the Nuggets.
Yeah, I don't want to see the Nuggets win either.
As much as Jokic is a good player, he doesn't care. And like, I kind of respect that. He just goes in there, he just dominates, wins, and then goes home to Serbia.
Of course, I want Boston to win, but like if OKC wins, I'd be happy with that.
Yeah.
Unless they're beating Boston, I'm going to be furious about that. But like they're a fun team to watch. You see the chemistry, like they'll walk away from reporters just to talk to their like home city reporter because he's, you know, there's a lot of chemistry.
Yeah, and I love like the team is young too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're only going
to
grow.
Yeah, definitely. So exciting things there. So let's see what they have to say. Exciting things. You are listening to Inside the Playbook on 91.7 WEEM.
We welcome you back here to the Arabian Sports Network Inside the Playbook for our next segment here. Ryan and I will be talking about the NBA playoffs, specifically the first round. Of course, as you guys are hearing this, the second round is already well underway with several games. But for the sake of timing, we're just going to be talking about the first round and then maybe, predicting the rest of the finals, maybe the conference finals, and then maybe on to the actual NBA finals themselves. But we're going to start here with the top left, the Thunder Pelicans. It was a sweep. Or Thunder beat them in four games. No real surprise. They were the Thunder, of course, one of the youngest teams in the NBA and one of the best, being the one seed in the very tough Western Conference. So Pelicans, I mean, they were good, but no Zion.
No Zion.
They didn't really have a chance.
If Zion was in there, maybe they would win maybe one or two.
Yeah, I agree.
But I don't think they had any chance of beating the Thunder.
Yeah.
Shea and Chet are just the dominant duo
now. They're definitely tough to beat. And then just below them, and who the Thunder will play in the conference semifinals, Clippers lost to the Mavericks in six games. The Mavericks, of course, with Luka, Kyrie, one of the best backcourts in the league. Going to be very tough to slow down. I think they're going to have a real shot at the Thunder. Yeah. I think they'll give them a run for their money. But the Clippers, I really like the Clippers for this NBA playoff. I nearly had them beating the Thunder in that semi-conference matchup in my bracket type game thing. But unfortunately, Kawhi got out with not too many games under his belt. I think he got injured three games in for game three. And without Kawhi, I just didn't think they really stood much of a chance. And it definitely showed as Dallas went on to pretty much win every single game from that point. So, yeah, Mavericks pulled away with it. But a good series and a good fight.
Yeah, Kawhi, I mean, I would say the leader of that team. And, I mean, without him, it's tough to win any game without your leader. And for the second round, as you said, Thunder versus Mavericks, I feel like Luka and Kyrie, with all their experience in the playoffs, I feel like they have a really big chance of beating the Thunder because they don't really have any experience at all.
Yeah, and that was exactly my reasoning for having the Clippers nearly beating the Thunder. I had the Thunder beating them eventually, but it was close. I went back and forth on it a couple times because I thought the Clippers, with, you know, so much experience and so many guys that are really wanting a ring, like look at Westbrook, he's probably a top five guy all time that doesn't have a ring. And then you look at
Chris Paul.
behind Chris Paul, and then James Harden, another guy to mention. Kawhi, of course, Kawhi has a ring, but I mean, he'd definitely be happy with another. And Paul George, I thought there's a lot of veterans that have just come short of that ring that are really going to be hungry to get it, but unfortunately it just didn't go their way, and I don't know if they're going to really have another chance. Of course, all those guys reaching a pretty old age.
Paul George back to the Pacers, maybe?
Oh, maybe. His contract is ending. That'd be pretty crazy. I think it'd be a good fit, too.
That was like my childhood favorite player to watch.
Yeah, so Luka back to the Mavericks. He is fifth in the NBA so far for points a game in the postseason. He's averaging 29.8. Number one assist, though, 9.5 a game. So he's leading the playoffs in assists per game. And overall, again, they're going to be a tough team to beat with that backcourt and a couple other very good supporting stars. Moving down here to the Timberwolves and the Suns, probably one of the few highlights, I think, of this first round when it comes to series as a whole. It's Timberwolves. I mean, they just lit the Suns up. I think the Suns, this was a somewhat popular upset. The Suns beating the Timberwolves in the first round because, I mean, the Suns, they have that talent. The talent is there. They just cannot figure it out. Of course, KD, Devin Booker, and the new addition, Bradley Beal, over the past offseason. But, man, Anthony Edwards is something else. He is absolutely unreal. He's going to be so tough to stop. Yeah. I think, and I have, the Timberwolves going to the NBA Finals, beating the Thunder in that Western Conference Finals. And I think it's looking more and more like a possibility to happen because that series alone just proved that Edwards, Cat, I mean, heck, Rudy Gobert helps out. Jayden Daniels had a very, very good series. I think just that team as a whole has the talent to go all the way.
You said not very many highlights for that series, as you said, it was true because they only had four games. But I feel like all the highlights were Anthony Edwards, like no one else. I mean, everyone's saying he's MJ's son.
Yeah, he might be.
He is cooking. He is
This is a different level, I think.
I definitely think so. I mean, he's always been good. Like his rookie season, he had one of the best rookie seasons of all time. But he's just this season, especially these last couple months, he's taken it to a whole another level. Yeah. Finally, the last first round series in the Western Conference, the Nuggets beat the Lakers in 5 games. LeBron. I think this was expected, but I want to talk about the Lakers, right? They similar to the Suns, the talent is there. They have two all NBA players with LeBron and AD, and then they also have two kind of very good supporting stars in Austin Reeves, AR-15, and D'Angelo Russell. But, I mean, I don't know. Are we thinking, like, the Lakers should just scrap it all and start new? Because at this point, it just doesn't seem like after that Mickey Mouse ring in 2020, I don't think they're going to get another one.
I have a feeling it was just this year they just weren't connecting.
Yeah, I agree.
As you saw, like, that game that they did when they were just, they looked like they were all on the same wavelength and everything. I just feel like the Nuggets found their weak point. I think maybe it was, I'm actually not going to say that. LeBron, taking out LeBron.
Yeah.
If you take out LeBron, it's basically you lost the biggest key. Because when they did do good, what did he have, 40?
I think something like that. Yeah. Like, was it in that game, what, 5?
Yeah.
Game 4, where they could have got swept, but they just got one game in there.
Yeah, I feel like the Nuggets just did a great job of isolating him. Austin Reeves really feeds off of LeBron, and Anthony Davis does the same thing. And I just feel like they surround the LeBron gets surrounded by all those players.
Yeah, and you talk about the Nuggets. I mean, they are a very, very good team. Yeah. No credits to take away from them. I think even though as we're recording this, Timberwolves are up 2-0 on them. I know we weren't really going to talk about the second round, but Timberwolves look like they got the edge. I'd never count the Nuggets out. I mean, they're the reigning NBA champs. Nikola Jokic with probably one of the best supporting casts in the league, with Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon. They're going to be tough to stop, and they have a real run. It's just this Western Conference is full of talent. You never really know what's going to go down. But moving over to the Eastern Conference, and the best team in the NBA, the Celtics, they beat the Heat in 5 games. Heat, unfortunately, couldn't get the 8 seed upset like they did last year over the Bucks, and the Celtics are just so, so good. I think they're my favorite to win the Eastern Conference. I think there's just no chance a team stops how powerful the Celtics are. I think the Knicks have a chance. Maybe the Cavs can give them 2 games, and the Pacers. I mean, maybe the Pacers get there, but I don't know. I think the Celtics are just so good. They proved that in that first round against the Heat, taking them down 5 games. And, you know, you take a look at the stats. No real one player stood out. And that's what's so good about the Celtics, right? Is you don't have, like, Jason Tatum's good, but he's not like MVP level where he's leading the team.
All 5 of those players.
All 5 of those guys can go off at any night.
Yeah. I would say the Heat would have a better chance with Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, that's true.
You can't say that because there's just one. It was one series.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Butler did beat them.
And I'm not sure, did Jimmy Butler come back for any of those games?
No, he was out.
Yeah.
Hurt the entire. He's in that play-in game. He got hurt.
Yeah, I mean, that's almost the same thing that happened in the Western Conference with the Thunder and the Pelicans, right? Didn't have your star player. You're an 8 seed already. Not really going to stand much of a chance. Yeah. But for a more interesting series, it went to 7 games. Game 7 in the first round. Cavs and the Magic. It was at Magic was the game 7, and unfortunately, the Cavs just edged them out. I kind of wanted the Magic to win here. But I voted for the Cavs in my bracket, but I kind of wanted the Magic to win. Not going to lie. Watching the game, because they're just so fun. Yeah. They're probably the most fun team in the league.
Paolo's balling.
Paolo's definitely balling. He's going to be tough in the next couple of years. I think the Magic, they could definitely be the next team to kind of explode and get to that next level and be a contender in the East. But the Cavs, I mean, they're good. They have a very good backcourt with Spida and Garland, and then Mobley, Jared Both Allen.
Mobley's actually.
So very, very good.
I have a feeling the Cavs can do something if Donovan Mitchell and Garland.
Garland, yeah.
Yeah. If they do something, be as Donovan Mitchell, what do you have in that? They average like 28.
Yeah, probably around there. I mean, they definitely have the talent to beat the Celtics and give the Celtics a
couple. I think if anyone could beat them right now, it would be the Cavs.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if the Magic did go there, they don't have the enough experience to even I think they would get one game off of the Celtics, but I feel like the Cavs have the better chance over the Magic to win.
Yeah, I agree. But moving down to the Bucks and the Pacers, really the biggest upset, the only upset, at least, Mavericks beating the Clippers, but yeah. Seed-wise, the biggest upset in the first round, Pacers beat the Bucks in six games. Now, Bucks, of course, didn't have Giannis, didn't have Dame for a couple games, but, I mean, the Bucks are a tough team no matter who they have. I mean, even if Dame was out a couple games, you saw Chris Middleton. He can step up. He's 42. A baller, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, Dame was in there for a couple games. They had a chance to kind of push it and maybe get Giannis back, but it just didn't happen. The Pacers, I mean, again, no credit to take away from the Pacers. I see a lot of people saying, oh, but the Bucks didn't have anyone. But the Pacers still played very well. I mean, the Pacers are going to have a good shot against the Knicks. I think that's going to be one of the best series in the round two. But for the Indiana Pacers, Halliburton, of course, he was doing his stuff. And Pascal Siakam, I think, was huge in this series because the Pacers, if they want to make a long run, they need to have that number two that can go off, say Halliburton's having an off night. And Halliburton, I mean, he's the type of player to feed other players like that. His best night is when other players are doing well.
Yeah.
So I think if Siakam is putting the ball in the basket, they're going to be just a very, very tough team.
Yeah. So at in the regular season, the Pacers were the best shooting team in the league. And in that Bucks Pacers series, they really struggled from three and really just shooting the ball in general. And I feel like if they get back to how they were in the regular season, they have a really easy, but a really good chance of beating the Knicks and even beating the Celtics.
Yeah, and moving on, as you're mentioning, to the Knicks and the 76ers, the last first round series we'll cover. Knicks beat them in six games. Mm-hmm. Knicks are very good. I saw a lot of people picking the 76ers here, of course. 76ers were one of the top teams in the East for a long time this season.
Yeah.
But Joel Embiid like pretty much disappeared from the face of the planet for a long time, and then they just dropped, and then he came back. So I think a lot of people they're going to pick up right where they left off. They're going to be a 3-seed, 2-seed type of team because they were when Joel was there. But, I mean, the Knicks are just... I think they got a bad matchup, honestly. Yeah. I think they would almost be better if they just got to that sixth seed. They could have beat the Bucks, in my opinion, for sure. But yeah, Knicks, very, very tough team. Brunson is so good. I think he and the Villanova squad with DiVincenzo, Josh Hart, and then some other players, I think they're very good. Now, I will mention here, before Julius Randle got hurt, Knicks were my favorite to maybe win it all. I think the Knicks had that talent, but Julius Randle out, I think that veteran leadership is definitely going to hurt them. I think the Pacers could give them some trouble in round two, but they're still so good.
I saw a stat line for the Knicks 76ers series that the total scoring between both teams was one off. The Knicks outscored the 76ers by 1 point.
Wow.
The entire series. I think that was just crazy to say because every single game was close.
Yeah, it was.
Like, if I go back here, hold on. Give me one quick second. I see the
game scores.
Yeah, the game scores.
Yeah, I got them here. Oh, game one was 111 to 104.
Mm-hmm.
So decently close. Game two was even closer. It was a 3-point game.
Yeah.
Game three that went to the 76ers was an 11-point game.
Yeah.
Game four was a 5-point game. Game five was a 6-point game, and then game six with the 3-point game. So very, very close. What,
11?
Yeah.
So I think, it was just close the entire way through. And, you can't really say anything about the Knicks. Knicks are just a really fast-paced team.
Mm-hmm, very.
Jalen Brunson doing a lot of good stuff, and Josh Hart, fourth best in rebounds right now.
Oh, yeah.
He's a guard.
Yeah.
I think that's just crazy to say.
Uh-huh. All right. So as we wrap up here, time is coming to an end. Ryan, who is your favorite to win it all at this point? Round one out of the way, kind of getting a feel for who's a playoff performer overall. Who? What team do you think could make the run?
I'm going to go with a hot take here. I'm going to say Timberwolves.
I was going to say the same.
I think because Ant and then Rudy Gobert, one of the best defenders in the league. Then you got Kat who can do it all basically. I feel like they have a really good chance of being just going all the way and winning.
Yeah, I agree. I was going to say the Timberwolves, but I actually won't. I'm going to go Celtics. I think the Celtics are too good, but I think the Timberwolves are going to advance to the finals.
Yeah.
I think we're going to Celtics, Timberwolves. Celtics are going to beat them in Seven games. It's going to go to a game seven. Yeah, it'll be hype. It'll be a good series, but Celtics are too good. We were talking about it. Yeah, they are just...
They're just insane.
Their starting five is probably the best. They're very deep.
Best, I think that... I can't argue with that one. Just best in total.
All right, so that'll do it for our time here. We hope you all enjoyed. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network Inside the Playbook.
Bring our music and Arabian sports everywhere you go by downloading our app on your phone. It's called 91.7 WEEM. Whether you are on a run, in your car, or at work, listen to us live. Go to the App Store today and download our app on your Android or iPhone for free. Listen today here on 91.7 WEEM.
Back to the Arabian Sports Network's Inside the Playbook here on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you back here to this final segment of Inside the Playbook. Now, finally, I'm your host with Zion Palmieri. We're here with
Lucas Williams.
And that would do it for today's Inside the Playbook episode. You know, we just heard Ryan and Dawson talk about the NBA playoffs and the cool things with that. So I'm excited to see that progress and all the things we talked about, the draft and all of those. So what's your take on this episode?
I'm specifically excited for the playoffs.
Yep.
Because basketball is obviously one of my favorite sports to watch, not play. I'm only 5'5".
See, in my my school league, not school really, I'm averaging 2 points, 9 rebounds. So
you're not averaging 2 points, 9 rebounds. You got that one game. Other two games, you got nothing.
I'm averaging 2 points, 9 rebounds.
All right,
Pull up the stat books.
We're ending this.
We had to delay it till summer because school is awful. But that should do it for this episode. I know this is probably everyone's favorite episode because we're the hosts. But you're listening to Inside the Playbook on 91.7 WEEM.
Thank you for tuning in to the Arabian Sports Network's Inside the Playbook here on 91.7 WEEM.